Hi guys, this is Nadia Hilliker. I'm playing Magna on The Walking Dead, and you guys are listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Golden Spiral. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast, and I'm sending you all my love. Bye!
The Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 94, Guardians Review.
Welcome to The Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to The Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of The Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278. Or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts.
Hey, survivors, and welcome to another fine episode of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Mark.
And tonight, we'll be covering Season 9, Episode 12, which is titled Guardians. But before we get started with that, we have some feedback from the previous episode. And I got to say, before we say that, this is, I think, the first time in the history of this podcast that I have listened to the theme, but not played it. So just so you guys know, we're kind of switching it up. So Mark is going to be Mr. Sound Effect Man tonight, and I am going to be not Mr. Sound Effect Man, at least for most of it. So this will be interesting. All right. So
we can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right. First bit of feedback is from Lara. And unfortunately, we got Lara's feedback in just a little bit after Mark and Steve recorded last week. And I should say thank you so much, Steve, for filling in as co-host last week. And thanks to Mark for being host last week, actually doing the driving. So now he's doing the driving, sort of, and me, sort of co-host, sort of not. Anyway,
driver's ed.
It's awkward. It's awkward, but it's learning. We have to teach. I want to teach Mark how to fish. Yes. So this is the idea. So if I'm not around, podcast could sound a lot like it would normally do without me. And I think he did a great job with that in some difficult circumstances because the audio was kind of messed up last week of no fault of his own. So.
Okay. So. Read Lara's, and Lara says, for last week's episode, 9 out of 10 Children of the Corn. And her awesome sauce was Ezekiel and Jerry. That bromance will always get an awesome sauce from me. Also, the truly thrilling scene as we became a part of Connie's silent world when she saves crying baby from the walkers and the whisperers. I liked her joining Daryl in the search for Henry. I shipped it.
Huh.
A bunch of happy emojis. Hey, it's gonna happen one of these days. Also, Alpha is cold as a polar vortex. I believe she is the cruelest, darkest adversary our group has ever faced. I don't think Negan or the governor would have even considered sacrificing a baby to the walkers.
Yeah, and I think we see more evidence of that this episode, don't we?
Yeah. Her what sauce is, at first I thought the Whisperers bringing a baby to Hilltop totally negated Lydia's entire conversation at hearing the sound of a baby at Hilltop. I thought the whole reason she finally realized this was a safe community was because they had babies, and the Whisperers could not because of their nomadic life. But I guess the whole point was that babies in Hilltop are actually able to survive, whereas Whisperer babies are become sacrificial decoys.
Yeah, I think that's the point there. I think you nailed it in the end, because I think that that's the difference, is that to her, the sign of babies means walkers coming in and imminent death, whereas in the Hilltop, a baby crying is a baby crying.
Hmm.
So I think that's where we see that in evidence last episode, and kind of see that a little bit, but we'll talk about it later in this episode where, I don't know, it seems like a pretty hard way to live.
Yeah.
All right. So Todd is next. He says, so I really like the side mission in this, but why an old school projector? They'd have to find the various film reels as well. Would it not be easier / less dangerous to find old VHS players, TVs, tapes somewhere? I know electricity would be the issue, but with all the farming and stuff, have they not figured out wind or water powered, if not solar? I feel like in 6 years, someone at one of the communities would have solved wind or water powered electricity at least. Well, okay, so we know Alexandria had solar power because they had it way back in season 5, episode 14. The reason why I know that is that's Spend. That was the episode that Noah died. And if you recall, that they went on that road trip to kind of get some replacement parts for the solar panels, if you recall.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, Alexandria's had it. And they obviously had some kind of power because otherwise, how could they power the light bulb? In the projector. So I don't think it's this power thing, but your point about it, why do they bother with film? Like anything like film, VHS, tape, that stuff doesn't react well to high temperatures. But something like Blu-ray or DVD players, which goodness knows, both those things were prevalent in 2010 when the apocalypse happened. They should be able to find that, and they should be able to find a projector. Like, you know, go into any office building and, you know, any office that does any kind of, you know, projections in a conference room, and they're probably going to have a projector there. So I would think that that would be easy enough to find, and probably not something that scavengers would have scavenged at this point.
Possibly they could have used the, if they transitioned over to the digital media cameras that are out there now, and they did this, I would say over within the past 10 years. I don't know the exact date, but they
where
it's now.
Yeah, and I think it happened before 2010. Like I seem to recall the last of the prequels, Revenge of the Sith, was projected, but pretty much all of them are projected now. They don't show them on film. It's all digital.
Yeah.
All right. But anyway, your point is taken, and I would somewhat agree with you. But you know, you never know. Maybe they had old stock films and already found. I want to say, though, based on this episode, I rated this one a 9.4 when I sent in my feedback. I feel that was too high. I feel like actually my last couple episodes have been too high because I'm trying to like overcompensate a little bit. I still really liked the episode last week, but I would actually give it an 8.75. That's based on the fact that I can't feel like I can give this one higher than that, but I like this episode more. So this is a normal thing. I do this a lot. yeah, exactly. All right. But anyway, season 9, episode 12, titled Guardians, written by someone brand new to The Walking Dead. Her name is Latoya Morgan. And she's not new to writing. In fact, she actually has a development deal with AMC, and that's probably why she's here. Her development deal oversees an inclusion initiative for AMC, in which she supervises and mentors diverse emerging writers for development. And I think there are several different like production studios and networks that have these kind of programs at hand right now. I know that there's been a stride to, like, you know, have more women directors, minority writers. You know, it's all good. I think that, you know, unfortunately Hollywood was a very much a white man's game for many years. I hate to say that, but it's true.
It is true.
Anyway, so what she is known for is Turn, Washington Spies, where she was a producer and a supervising producer from that one show of AMC that you've heard me say many times that I didn't enjoy, that is ending this year, Into the Badlands. But I won't hold that against her. She's also known for Shameless, Parenthood, and Complications, and she was nominated once for an NAACP Image Award. So anyway, she's got quite a lot of experience, and I think it's good what she's doing. So, directed by a longtime director of this show, and he is now a co-exec producer on Fear the Walking Dead, Michael E. Satrazimus. And I'd say he's best known for directing The Grove, so which is definitely one of the favorite episodes of mine.
Same here.
All right, Mark, what did you think of Guardians?
Well, I gave it 9 out of 10 Snow White imagery. Basically, when Alpha gave Lydia the apple, it looked like the Wicked Witch giving Snow White the apple to me. So I had to throw that in there. It was kind of that weird, creepy thing.
Well, I like that one better than what I was thinking of, which is like Adam and Eve. Because, like, wait a second, that's very wrong. It's her daughter, so can't be that. Well, I, after kind of rejiggering the ratings for the last couple of episodes, I also give this one a 9. Very sharp piano wires. I assume that's a piano wire that she used to kill that one whisperer.
I thought it was razor wire, but somebody mentioned on some YouTube that it was possibly the yo-yo string, and I don't
know. Oh, goodness me. Really? Wow. It's possible, I guess. Man, if that's true, we'll have more to say about that.
Yeah, I thought it was, as you could see, it looked very metal. So to me, I thought it was just like razor wire that she just used, not like barbed wire.
Well, okay. So, you know, maybe that completely changes my thought about that, because I didn't realize that was razor wire in some kind of loop. I thought that was a yo-yo. So one of my ratings is 9 inexplicably buried yo-yos. So my mind is blown at this point.
What?
Yeah.
I'll also give it 9 groups dressed as the dead that are trying to kill us. So Michonne said that, of course, in Alexandria. All right. So as far as the ratings are concerned, why don't you start with the listener ratings?
I will start with Steve. Steve said he gives it 9.5 out of 10. Off with their heads.
And in Eugene's best vernacular, Lara gives it 9.8 out of 10 pantalones with super stretchy waistbands.
Dieta gives it 8 out of 10 walkers payback. Love that they got revenge on the Whisperers, thanks to Daryl.
And lastly, Glennis gives it 8 out of 10 ever-expanding bread baskets. That, of course, is related to what Laura said.
Now, I guess we're on to Awesome Sauce.
Awesome Sauce!
And Laura says, Team hashtag Daryl and Connie. I dig the chemistry between these two, and Daryl using the Whisperer's own tricks against them was an awesome surprise. I do agree.
Yeah.
But a little bit of difference. I'll talk about that later. And damn! Alpha is the most vicious, sinister villain the show has ever had. Not only was her scene killing the upstarts in her group one of the most horrific scenes on the show ever. Seriously, it felt like we were watching an old school slasher film. I do agree with that.
Yeah.
Something out of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
But her telling the story of Lydia as a baby, almost suffocating to death as she watched, was absolutely haunting. Samantha Morton is killing this role, pun possibly intended. Even her body language, the way she skulks around Lydia, is frightening. Next to her, Negan looks like one of those Muppets.
One of those Muppets?
Which one? Animal?
Maybe the old... The old men in the, yeah. Well, I would agree with you on that point, Laura. I had down for my notes that I am I am warming up to the character. Her brutality in this episode was shocking, and I certainly have taken notice. I think I still have some problems with the character, which I'll get to at some point, but she's very effective as a baddie and just a stone-cold psychopath, I think.
Yeah. Well, she continues on saying, "Love seeing Michonne get a bit of a schooling in ethics from a 10-year-old. But in my opinion, I'm with Michonne. Let this sucker rot in jail." I think you're along with a lot of other people there.
Yeah, you're not alone with that. Definitely not.
Eugene making maternity clothes for Rosita? Too cute. And so sad. This show has definitely turned a corner for me when I'm actually caring for a character. I was so terribly annoyed by since their introduction. She probably didn't like Eugene too much.
I agree with that. I actually had, so Laura, you got two of the things that I had in my awesome sauce. Eugene being a man and putting Rosita's happiness and well-being above his own. I think obviously he's grown a lot in the years past, and you know how I had forgotten about in that scene with Gabriel. I forgot about the fact that the two of them had made those bullets together, and you know, so obviously he saw Eugene at his worst. So what Eugene said is that much more fitting, I guess. So yeah, I agree with you 100%. And like I said, you have two of my three awesome sauce. So all right, Glynis is next, and she says, "Judith Grimes' sassy reply to Michonne, leaving her speechless. So all Michonne can do is send her to her room." I would agree with that. Daryl and Connie disguising themselves as walkers / whisperers and creating the diversion to rescue Henry and Lydia. Yeah, you know, and I have to admit, and I feel ashamed to even admit this, but at first I did not realize that it was them that had really created the diversion. More on this later, but you know, kudos to Connie and Daryl for doing that. I don't know exactly how they were able to do that, but I would give them kudos for being able to do it. Bad dog for breaking the arrow. Yeah, dog. Bad dog. I thought that was funny, actually. Alpha creeping and sort of gliding around the camp. Her gait is so creepy, combined with her twangy southern accent, uttering words dripping with menace and intent. Yeah, twangy southern accent that we figured out from a friend who lives in Baltimore, that it's not a Baltimore accent. Of course, I talked about that in my weak sauce last week, I think.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that her accent sounds like anybody that would actually talk. But, you know.
Exaggerated version of an accent, it seems.
Yeah, I think she should be going to Andrew Lincoln's dialogue coach and using, you know, his tricks, because, you know, I'd certainly say by mid through season two, he had it down pat, and I never heard him get any like British isms in there or anything really. Like he nailed it. You could hear it a little bit in season one and maybe the first couple episodes of season two, but after that, he had it down cold. So maybe Samantha Morton will have it down cold too after a few more episodes, but you know, then again, I think Andrew Lincoln sets a high bar. So yeah. So I left it at Alpha is an animal creeping around like a panther and slinking up to the woman with an off with her head and presenting the head to the boyfriend was so cruel. And then pausing for a moment to have the boyfriend think he's going to be spared, but no, knifed in the side. Yes.
And Dieta says, "Daryl with the master plan. I loved how he lured the walkers to the unsuspecting whisperers. That moment had me in smiles and like two big smile emojis." And on to our awesome sauce. Mine would be finally seeing and hearing Beta. I love the scene when he picked up Henry. I thought it was poopoo pit city for Henry at that point, honestly.
Poopoo pit city. Nice.
Is that a pee-pee?
Yeah, I got it.
The next would be Daryl with the mask on to get Lydia and Henry. I guess his smell helped him with his disguise.
Oh, God. I'll do this.
And seeing the Whisperers camp, how they live. Very different from the comic. They look like a bunch of nomads living off the land with only using what they have around them. Doesn't look like they leave much around or behind. So it seems like they clean up after themselves, like as if they were never there.
Well, that's interesting. Maybe we can explore that in our show notes, how different it is from the comic. I'm interested in that, but we'll maybe talk about that later. Well, the only thing I have left, and it is related to yours, I guess, is Beta's half mask was pretty cool. That, you know, essentially like is only going up to his beard.
Yep.
And I thought that was really cool, and it did make him look very menacing. And I like that. I thought that was a good, strong intro to him, making me wonder, though, how come we had to wait so many episodes to have him in the show? Because I think he should have been there right away, like with Alpha. But I don't know. Maybe this is they got from the comic.
Well, actually, yeah, it does show that in the comic, but we'll go on to that later.
All right.
So, on to Weak Sauce.
Yo, worthless and weak!
So, Glynis says, it wasn't clear to me, at least, if Gabriel knew about Rosita being pregnant, but apparently he does already know, since Eugene presented or bombarded him with all the math stats, graphs, and figures for what is really an emotional decision. Eugene bringing the science to a relationship, and what was with Gabriel, Sadiq, and Rosita going up the steps into the same house? Are they all going to live together? Maybe some scenes are on the cutting room floor, or maybe that's why it comes across as a mishmash, disjointed storyline. But a nice gesture from lovelorn Eugene, who is putting Rosita's needs above his own.
Well, to that, I think that's exactly what's going to happen, is they are definitely going to live together, I think. So, you know, that's essentially what we're going to get. I think those three are in what do they call that, triangular
good
parimony? No, there's a name for that. I can't think of it right now.
It's a trap.
Oh, that was funny. That's the first time I've heard that as the recipient of it and not the transmitter of it. That was funny. And the last listener weak sauce that we got was from Deanna, and it's nice and short. Henry with big love in his eyes emojis. Let her go already. Jeesh. All right. So as far as our weak sauce, it looks like the only weak sauce that you have, Mark, is agreeing to my weak sauce. Right. So I'll just get to it. The Whisperer is getting attacked in the night. I just didn't buy it at all. How could these people have survived by walking among the walkers, be attacked by them like that? I call
bullshit.
Yes, I call BS. Extreme Edition. And so I take it you agree with that one.
Yeah, I do. It would have been nice to see them try to get to that point and out some of the Whisperers or a couple of the walkers that are walking around before they get there to cover up their tracks. But for them just to come out of nowhere just seemed a little bit, you know, is it on the editing room floor or something? You know, it seemed like a little bit kind of like rush and pace.
It seemed like to me, if they have been living among the walkers like that for that long, they would have a system for this very thing. Like, they would have guards. And, you know, they mentioned guardians, but I think they're referring to the walkers as guardians, right? That's how I understood it.
Pretty much.
So why didn't they have, you know, their own agents in there to control them? Or, I don't know, is that possible that Daryl killed those people? I didn't really understand it to be like that. So that's possible, but certainly, yeah, I didn't buy that. It just seems too far. It was anybody else, I would buy this. But the fact that they walk among the dead to be attacked by the dead like that, I just call BS. I don't think that would actually happen.
Bullshit!
Thank you. All right. So another one I have is Michonne picks a fine time to give in to the council. I think she's more scared of becoming a Negan and about Judith talking to him than she is the quote unquote new group that walk with the dead. you can see the plot driving the story here, although not as much as we've seen in the past, like in past seasons when the Gimpo was running things. She is acting in character here. It's just mistimed actions against what she's done for the last 6 years. And with that, and I'm not going to repeat because I did see this in the feedback, there is something that Dieta says that I will have much more to say when she says it in her feedback. But that was a weak sauce for me as well. But it is related to Michonne.
All right. Well, we're on to what sauce now.
What?
And we got one, didn't we?
Yeah, we just got the one. It's from Lara. And it's Rosita, Father Gabriel, and Sadiq gather for a family meeting. Is this the beginning of a new series? My Two Apocalypse Dads?
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
On to ours. I had a couple of points. I'll start with the second one. You actually brought up another one that I had brought up on the Facebook page. But I'll start with, what was not seeing where RJ was? Where is that kid? Why didn't Michonne go pick him up from a sitter, and why didn't we see that? What's with that?
What?
You know, I did not think of that until I saw this in the feedback, but I have to agree with you, Mark. Considering how much we saw of Michonne this week, and we see Judith too, why we didn't see RJ is kind of bizarre. I mean, maybe it was like the child actor wasn't available or something, or maybe there was a scene that was cut. I don't know, but...
Yeah, it was kind of off-putting because she just comes out of nowhere. She's talking with Negan, talking with everybody else, but you would really think, all right, she already had some sort of interaction with Judith. Why not with RJ as well? Like, hey, I'm glad to see you, and thanking somebody for watching RJ. So that was kind of like a what sauce of, like, what? Hold on. Is that bad writing? Because I'm pretty sure a lot of other people are out there speculating.
So. Yeah.
My other bit was, and you mentioned it.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that we mentioned it in the podcast.
So basically, I posted a picture. It was a comparison. There's a picture of Lydia when she was walking with Alpha, and she's got this purple long sleeve shirt. And I'm like, that looks very familiar. And I brought it up to a YouTuber that I listened to, and he said, yeah. And he sent me the picture. He goes, dude, check this out. And he sent it to me, and I said, yep, that's it. And it was the same exact style purple shirt that Maggie wore. So, and down to the pants, the same.
Yeah.
And it was the same coloring and everything. It's just that the purple shirt looked a little bit more faded. Now, Henry got these clothes for Lydia. So, obviously, he must have just grabbed these things, and they were just laying around. Who knows? But maybe that was some sort of Easter egg that was left for us to reflect back on Maggie, maybe, because they're both brunette, you know, and they're walking and they're having issues. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on that at all until I saw the picture, and I was like, OMG. And I thought, yeah, it must be some kind of callback to Maggie, because we've certainly seen her wear that very, at least, you know, clothing exactly the same, if not the exact same clothing. So yeah, I was really surprised when you found that. Now let's give them a plug. What YouTube channel was it?
That was from the PT channel.
Oh, okay.
One-Eyed Brian. He's from Canada.
Doesn't he do a lot of the spoiler stuff?
On occasion, yes.
Yeah, he was actually a channel that I stopped watching because there was too many spoilers on him. All right, well, I've got quite a few here, four. So first one is an obvious one. Alpha can behead someone with a wire?
Bullshit!
Now, I won't call it weak because it was powerful and it was shocking and I thought it was really effective. It's one of those scenes, though, that is absolutely awesome when you see it the first time, but then you start thinking about it, and it's like, then you start thinking, is that even possible? I was thinking about it, it's like, okay, you should definitely be able to kill someone with a wire, because I know, like certain movies, certain serial killers that have used like some kind of razor wire or something like that to kill someone. But that doesn't mean that they beheaded them, and literally beheaded them with nothing than leverage and this wire. So I was just thinking, and it's like, you know, okay, Alpha is kind of a large, powerful woman, I guess, but I just don't see that she could be able to cut through someone's neck like that. It's just, it's too far-fetched. So like I said, at first I thought that was awesome, but the more I you know, when I watched it again, I had to say,
bullshit!
And for another thing of BS, and I don't know, I'm focusing on size this week, and you know, I feel very hypocritical when I do that. But Rosita can't button up her jeans. What is it with pregnancy in this universe? Like Maggie, you know, she has her baby during the 18-month break or whatever. We never even see her with a baby bump. And it's the same thing with Rosita. I mean, she's like got like a tight washboard stomach, and as always, and she's trying to put on these like, you know, skinny jeans, and they're tight on her. I'm like, I'm sorry, but it didn't look any different to me. So I just thought, yeah, right. Okay. I get what you're saying, but you know, it's not like she was trying to put on like sweatpants or something, you know.
Not true.
Speaking of impossible, I thought it was dumb of Beta to leave Henry stick. That would give someone a way to track him. Now, unless he tried to do that intentionally, but why would he do that intentionally? So I thought that was kind of dumb of him leaving it there. I didn't pick up on that right away, but as I was thinking about it, and I think I might have heard that on another podcast, not specifically, but I thought about it. It's like, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. And yeah, I think Lucy and Jason may have mentioned this on Walking Dead cast. And it was something where I definitely went back, saw the scene, and I'm like, yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. And here's another thing. I feel really weird bringing this up because I'm a hypocrite by bringing it up. I am a big guy. If you didn't know this, I'm about 350 pounds. So in fact, I am 350 pounds because I went to the doctor today. And that was my exact weight. So I don't mean to fat shame anyone, but it's kind of, I feel like an a-hole.
Language. I'm a kid, asshole.
But Alpha has like a gut on her. And I was trying to look at it this last watch to see if it was just layers of clothing or something. But I don't know. It just, she looks too heavy. For specifically, I don't mean that she's too heavy. She's too heavy given the way that they live. Like, for example, Lydia is very thin, right? Yeah. And I would expect someone who is living like that to be very thin, because obviously they're, you know, not eating the best ways. They're certainly not like eating like the Hilltop with, you know, farm raised vegetables and all this stuff. So I would expect her to be thin, and Alpha clearly isn't thin. So that's why I say that it's internally consistent, and I feel like a hypocrite bringing it up, but it's kind of distracting. Like, ever since I noticed this in the first episode that she showed up, it's kind of bothered me. And I'm not trying to fat shame anybody. It's the problem of what's the guy on Lost?
Actually, you're not fat shaming. You're skinny shaming.
Okay.
Because they give her what looks to be like a stomach or a gut, but we don't know what the situation regarding that. Maybe that's coming out in the future.
Oh, maybe. Hurley. That's who I'm thinking of. Hurley on Lost. Like a guy who was heavy all the way through that show, even, you know, being stranded on a deserted island for as long as they were, it did make sense after, you know, after a while for him to still be, you know, a 300-pound guy. So anyway, again, I feel really bad bringing it up, but it's kind of weird. So again, I don't want to be an a-hole. That's the last thing I want to be. So please understand, and I'm the last person to make criticisms about someone's weight. It's just, it doesn't feel consistent with the plot. I hope that I'm explaining myself. And if I am being an a-hole, I'm really, really sorry, because I don't mean to be. So maybe I need to choose my words better or not mention it at all, which is why I didn't mention it until this episode. I waited like 3 or 4 weeks to say this. So anyway, I'm sorry.
We can move on. We could go on to...
Yes.
Sad Sauce, or also known as Aw Sauce.
Aww.
And Dieta states, Eugene's contribution to the Daddy's Triangle and helping Rosita fit into her genes.
Aw is right. And Lara actually mentioned something similar. As I mentioned, I'm getting some serious sympathy feels for Eugene. Poor guy. Always a bridesmaid and never the bride. The constant object of his affection is with Father Gabriel. Father Gabriel! That means she would literally rather be with any other surviving man on this planet than Eugene. And she is both laughing and having tears in her emojis.
Yeah. My sad sauce would be, I was a little sad about the trio. I agree. And I mean the trio of Sadiq, Rosita, Father Gabriel. I don't think that will work.
It won't work without Eugene. They need to have my three dads.
All right, so now we got some feedback.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
Okay, and the first bit of feedback is a voicemail from Steve.
Hello, Walking Dead Talk Through. This is Steve, and I absolutely love this episode, Guardians of the Walking Dead. So I'm going to try to keep my comments as brief as possible, because I'm sure you guys are probably going to get a lot of feedback. Alpha is just chilling. This the betrayal by Samantha Morton and everything about her, the way she used that garrote to cut off the woman's head, the way she was trying to get Lydia to kill Henry, all just absolutely chilling. And Ryan Hurst's portrayal of Beta is just amazing. It's returned me to the scariness of the show, and just so many things that it intrigues me. I love seeing Alexandria again, and just being able to spend so much time there, and that dynamic between Gabriel, Rosita, Eugene, and Sadiq is so interesting. And Eugene is just such a wounded puppy, but he knows it. And his acknowledgement that Rosita loves Father Gabriel was a really pretty profound, I think, for Eugene. And I think he's right. I think she really does. And it's going to be a situation they're going to have to try to figure out how to work with these three or four, if you include Eugene. And he must have a lot of time on his hands to do all that charting and stuff. But I guess he's got a lot of unspent energy. Anyway, I said I was going to keep it brief, so I will. Only 4 episodes left, and there's 2 days until the fair. So I hope, I think Mark has said before, and I hope he's right. I think we're going to get to see beyond the fair. I hope the fair is not the end of the season. I hope we get to see the fair and what happens after that, and continue on. And absolutely love Judith, and I'm still completely over Negan. Talk to you later.
Awesome.
Anything you want to bring up from Steve?
No, we'll get into what I stated last week about Beyond the Fair and my end notes.
Okay.
We should continue on. And we got some feedback from Glennis. And she states, I'm sure Michonne hated that Negan was making sense. He's not all violence, but not sure if he can be trusted just yet. Don't know if it's all just a ruse to get out of jail and continue to live in Alexandria, instead of trying to fend for himself as he realized he couldn't do during his brief break to freedom. I agree. Henry dealt quick time with that one whisper, but Beta is so much tougher, and Beta just dealt with Henry like he was a feather. More training is required by Henry.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Certainly a very imposing guy.
Yep, I'm glad he's here. He continues on saying, Beta cutting and removing the walker skin from the walker's head and prep for Lydia was super gory, but so well done. I agree. Yeah, it's part of that weird slasher kind of thing that we're getting out of the show now, and the horror effect. He continues on saying, I enjoyed this episode, Season 9, Episode 12, more than the last episode, Season 9, Episode 11. which is a relief. After the last episode didn't gel for me on many levels. I don't know what it is, but it seems to me that the second half of season 9 may be missing Scott Gimple's direct influence. And The Walking Dead is starting to reflect and veering more over to Angela Kang's way of running things at The Walking Dead. Or it was the particular director, Mira Mignon, for season 9, episode 11, as the writer was Matthew Negrete, who is really good, but something was just off about that episode of season 9, episode 11, which may be a good thing, as maybe Scott Gimple is rather busy writing and concentrating on the Walking Dead trilogy movies with Andrew Lincoln as Rick Grimes. I still miss Rick Grimes in the Walking Dead main series, though. And we all do. I'm one of them.
I'm two of them. Or should I say we're two of them? Yeah, well, you know, I've stated that before. It's been, he was my character, and he was the whole sole reason for me falling in love with this show. Like that, I remember vividly the scene in Tell It to the Frogs when he meets up with his, you know, with Lori and Carl. That first, you know, that was way back in episode 3. That was the same episode that we finally see Carol and Daryl. And that was the one, I think, that really made me say I love this show, because I really, by that time, had really related to Rick and him, you know, trying to get to his family under extremely improbable circumstances. I think that was, you know, that was it. So yeah, it's been difficult. And I said it like right when we first heard the news that he was leaving the show, and it's been difficult for me. It's kind of like the show has lost it's lost its main character. And just to correct you, Mark, it is Mira Menon is her name. So,
I did it at least once, right? I said by Menon.
Yeah. I had a guy that I used to work with. His last name was Menon. So I know that. I knew that was Menon. And that's how you would always tell people how to pronounce his name. By Menon. All right. So next is from Dieta. And she says, the daddy love triangle continues. Daryl and Connie, the new dynamic duo, look like Daryl took a page out of Carol's book. That was totally a Carol move. Yeah, I guess it was, wasn't it? Putting on the mask and kind of it's like what she did in just JSS, you know, where she posed as the wolves. So, but definitely worth it all to save love-struck Henry. Well, and I would say that Daryl is a man of his word. He said he'd protect Henry, and he will, even with the dumbass kid. Even if the dumbass kid makes it hard on him. Sorry, but yeah, I mean, I thought that his actions this episode, I was much more sympathetic to Henry in this episode than in previous. I mean, I get what he's trying to do, and yeah, he may have been love struck, but I guess I kind of understand it. I've been there. We can't help who we love sometimes.
Yeah, our hormones get the best of us when we're children.
Yeah, especially when you're, you know, high school age, basically. But at that time, you're a raging hormone. she continues. She says, Michonne has turned into a meanie, and we still don't know why everyone is so separate. I'm not understanding how she thinks cutting off the other communities is going to guarantee the survival of Alexandria. This is not what Rick wanted. I need to know what happened during the 6-year time jump. I need answers. And this is the part that I had hinted at last in the weak sauce, that this is a weak sauce of mine. They dangled that whole story out in episode 6, you know, showed us the scars, and we're 6 episodes later, you know, we only got 4 episodes yet left, And it's been, you know, calendar-wise, it's been several months that have passed since then in real time. And we still don't know any of that. And I got to say that I'm getting a little more than a little frustrated by that. I want answers too, Deanna. I agree with you 100% about this. And it's awful that they still really haven't explained any of it.
Yeah, it is really awful. But I think we're going to get that in one key episode.
Yeah, I just wish that we, you know, had a little more that, like, we understand their actions, but we don't understand what happened. And I think we need to understand what happened. And I thought that this episode was really good in a lot of ways. And it was one of those things where I didn't think about that fact as much. That was the thing that, you know, especially two episodes ago, I felt like, it's like, you know, stop showing Henry. I don't care about Henry. I care about what's going on and why all this stuff happened. And we still don't know. So let's get on with it and tell us a story. You know, we want to know it. We just keeping us stringing along for too long. That this is like Gimple. You know, I don't want to start saying we've been Kanged.
And then on top of that, they teased us last time too with the flashback with Jesus.
And exactly.
Jesus. You know, I'm sorry I had to play that, but we all miss him, and we got that little glimpse, and it gave a little clue into something that she ended that charter, or she didn't decide to continue on with it.
Jesus? Yeah, and in fact, on Talking Dead, Seth Gilliam said that he would be a parent like Herschel. And following the path of Jesus, but not that Jesus. That's the first use of dual sound effects. Just so you guys know, the first one was played by Mark and the second one was played by me. Beautiful.
All right.
All right. And she continues. She says one final thing. She says, overall, this was an okay episode. There were a few things about the Whisperers that I didn't think was feasible, but hey, it's just a show, right? And she just shrugs. And she shrugged earlier, too. I didn't mention the shrugs, but yeah, all right. So that's it for our feedback. So thank you all for submitting your feedback this week. Do you have anything else you wanted to bring up, or you got stuff for later?
No, I could bring it up now. My other notes would be for Steve.
Okay.
These are comic related, but actually from the show related. What I've seen from what we see ahead from like just show titles, it seems like that they give a synopsis of what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Some ways. So it seems to me like the final episode is when they figure out after the festival. So what something happens during the festival, apparently, and then something and they resolve and we're left with some sort of something that happened, and it leads us into the next season. So I think we get that ultimate festival, but something's going to happen. I have this sneaking suspicion.
Festivus? Holiday for the rest of us?
So, yeah, and it does play out in the comic, and but I'm not going to get into
it. Yeah,
that.
Don't.
Stuff, but
because we don't know if it's going to play the same way, but we have.
Will. Yeah. I play a little different, and I think at the end of the show, a lot of those comic readers are going to be shocked, and me included. So I'm awaiting that, and I'm hoping to see this huge fight that they're predicting for Daryl and Beta.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I had a few things to bring up. I noticed that we've heard another thing that the zombies are called in this show. And that was by Alpha. She called them the Hungry Ones. So,
well, we've had biters. We've had walkers.
Deadies. Dead ones. Roamers.
Mm-hmm. There's like so many different names they attribute. Yeah. But for most of what we know, it's walkers in our end.
Yeah. Yeah. Geeks.
Yep.
Yep. Okay, so one thing I noticed, I think you had said, or maybe it was Steve that said last week about not seeing Alexandria. I think it was Steve, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. See, I did listen. Anyway, it looks much more like a frontier town than it ever did before. I mean, before, it just looked like a walled community, you know, where the fences have been drawn up that much more. But, you know, a modern community that still had modern conveniences. But I guess with the fire, and they had to rebuild, and they basically rebuilt like a frontier town, it seems to me. Like, we see like the structures that they built, you know, look much more like structures from the old West.
Yeah, like log cabins almost.
Yeah.
See the foundation portion of it. There was a nice scenic view in this episode when you see them walking. I think it was Michonne inside it sitting down, and you could see in.
Yeah.
And it looked really nice.
Yeah.
I really want to visit that set.
Well, there is a way to do it now.
When I was in Atlanta, we just got to see it from a distance. We weren't allowed in Alexandria.
I think that those tours are only available during off season only. Yes. So,
yeah, I looked into it, and the cost of it is nice, but to actually get there and do it, and I believe I've heard a couple of reviews. I think another podcast. For the Walking Dead, they wound up going out there. I think I was listening to.
It was probably Brains Gone Bad, because I know Lizzie and Kim have gone there.
Yeah, and they said it was like maybe an hour and a half's worth of them going in, and they got as much pictures as they could.
Yeah.
And they would tell them they could only take pictures certain here and there, I guess, because of prep. But anybody who goes out there and does the tour, I would recommend the tour. You get to see a lot of what's going on in the actual town of Sonoy, and they use everything. They're all small shots if you look at it in comparison to the show.
Yeah.
But they do consolidate it to certain areas. But the whole portion of Alexandria, you could walk around, but you can't even get to the gate because that's how high the security is there. And they recommend that nobody does go into there. They actually stop somebody. And they tased the guy, and it was on his like fifth attempt. And then they got a restraining order against him from going in. So I don't recommend you trying that at any cost. So, but it was fun. I do recommend it. The whole experience, just going out there, we did it for Atlanta Walker Stalker. It was myself and a bunch of other people. It was like a good 15 of us, I think. Jeez.
Seems to me like if you went on the tour and then you did the set tour, that would be like a whole thing you could experience in a day or two, and it would be, you know, would be pretty cool, I think.
Yeah, the only thing that they don't really take you too much out of, I wanted to see more of the city of Atlanta, of where they filmed, but they don't really. Depends on who's doing the tour, what they actually have structured for that day, and you do take a bus from a particular location, and then they take you around. But we got to see where the rooftop was, where they were shooting in the first season, you know, what Merle with his shotgun shooting down.
Cool.
Yeah, they'll point out where that building is. You could see it from a distant point. Couldn't stop there because the main stay was literally going into the town of Sonoy, where they mostly film. And there's a lot of other films that they do there. I was surprised Demolition Man was filmed there.
Oh, yeah?
Fried Green Tomatoes was filmed there.
Does that mean there's a lot of Taco Bells?
Every restaurant is named Taco
Bell. And if you don't get that reference, go watch Demolition Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny, that movie with certain points.
Another one that I wanted to bring up was when Alpha said to Henry, "Who are you?" I immediately went to this.
Who are you? Where do you come from?
And if you recognize that, you would know that that is the same guy that is from here.
You're worthless and weak.
It is from the same video. I Want to Rock. Actually, it's not I Want to Rock. It's We're Not Going to Take It, actually. But anyway, so the Twisted Sister video, the same guy. Anyway, I thought of that. Who are you? The way she said it. And another reference, when she said to Lydia, kill the boy, I thought of the episode of Game of Thrones, Kill the Boy. And that was, of course, I can't remember, is Aegon Targaryen? One of the Targaryens, anyway, the one that's in the, I can't think of it, what's the name of that? The ones that are on the wall.
Oh, the Nightman's Watch or something.
Yeah. Anyway, those guys. Someone, probably Lara or whoever else. I know there's a lot of people that have are Game of Thrones listeners in the people that listen to us. I'll remember right within the next 5 minutes after I stop talking. So you don't have to immediately message me. You will hear it in the next 5 minutes because you know me. You must know me. I'm obsessed with such things and I must have the answer. So anyway, he says, kill the boy and let the man live. So I thought that was fitting. And that's basically all that I have for this episode. I thought it was great. But again, when I was trying to figure out what my rating would be, I was like, okay, last time was a 9.4. That would put this as at least a 9.5. This does not feel like a 9.5 to me. So I had to, as I have to do sometimes, had to rescale a little bit.
Yeah.
So, all right. So let's get into news, ratings, and info.
It was just a couple weird stories on the news.
All right. So first, it's the ratings, and thankfully, ratings were up a little bit. Yes, that's right. For the second week in a row, it got a 1.73 in 18 to 49 demographic with 4.708 million viewers. That is up from, it's only up a little bit in the 18 to 49, a 1.71. Some websites would say that it was even, but if you go to two decimals, it's slightly up. It also got last week a 4.386 million viewers. So that's up like about 322,000 viewers, I think. So that's good. And Talking Dead was actually down from last week. It got a 0.53 in the 18 to 49 with 1.696 million viewers. It's down from 0.62. and 1.712 million viewers, which is kind of surprising because last week was the Oscars, right?
Yes.
You would think that there would be more people watching the Oscars, especially at that in the 10 to 11 hour, because that's usually when Best Picture gets announced. So I'm kind of surprised by that it actually got less this week. All right. Well, this is old info, but it was something that I did not realize. I found this looking up news for this week, and that is Samantha Morton was once charged with attempted murder when she was 14, and she was actually convicted of making threats to kill, and she was sentenced to, I think, 18 weeks in an attendance center. I don't know what that is, but that sounds like a halfway house or something like that. But yeah, I did not know that. So maybe she's, no, I'm not going to say it, but maybe she knows how to play this kind of character. I'm sorry. I don't mean anything by that.
Well, it's pretty funny too, because as I've read it, it was just like some sort of incident occurred in her hometown and Nottingham. And she basically, I guess during the incident, a girl that used to pick her on her or abuse her, she just basically confronted her with a knife. And, you know, this girl apparently bullied her. So she goes, I was physically abused and I retaliated. The only person I hurt in the end was myself. So she does feel bad about it. And because I was locked in a cell for 3 days, it was terrible. I just sat there thinking, I don't want this life. I'm not a petty criminal. I'm not a thug. I was so ashamed of myself. So there's a lot of remorse in what she had based upon that incident. Yeah, the charge of the attempted murder was reduced, making threats to kill.
Right.
So basically got to that point of viciousness. Yeah, she was convicted to 18 weeks. You know, she says the experience turned her life around. She felt humbled by the and felt remorse. She felt embarrassed. So.
Sounds like that Scared Straight kind of, except in her case, she literally was scared straight.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, we had one bit of news that I was able to find. Actually, it came out today on Wednesday. And that is, and I love her name. It's so ironic. Karen David is the latest to be added to Fear the Walking Dead. She is going to be added as a series regular on the show. I assume since it's kind of a late casting news, I would think maybe it's in the second half or something. I don't know. But apparently it's under tight wraps exactly what she's playing. But the character is named Grace. And the person that wrote this on Deadline said that my guess is she will be hunting some zombies while dealing with her own personal demons, but that's just me. I think that's funny. I have to say irony because, you know, you have to think of Carol when you think of Karen David, because, of course, Carol killed Karen and David. Yes.
And you also have to think of the name Grace.
Oh, Grace, yes.
Think about it. What did Aaron has a daughter named Grace? Do they time jump like 20 years?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, I lived in Alexandria, Italy. Oh, so I know you.
Yeah, Grace is, you know, like she ends up coming up to Strand, and Strand is like, you know, 56 years old. And Alicia's 40.
And Morgan's 60. And he goes, I knew you when I was in Alexandria. You don't clear me.
You don't clear me. That's good. So you may know her from once. Actually, she's played. She's got pretty good resume here. She was in the series Legacies, I guess, on CW, as well as Barry. I think that's on HBO, right? I haven't seen that show, but I've heard about it. And Once Upon a Time. And she's been in a couple of movies. Lena Khan's The Tiger Hunter. I don't know that one. And an upcoming film called Heaven's Hands. Again, two movies that I haven't heard of, but I certainly heard of her, the TV shows she's been in. So interesting and kind of funny, like looking at her. I don't know what her background. Oh, I guess she's also in the Gallivant. Yeah. Okay. She's in Gallivant. I remember that show. That was on ABC. Yeah. So she, I don't know if she is, but she kind of looks Hispanic. It's almost like she would be like a replacement for Luciana. I don't know. But anyway, like very similar look. So
yeah.
Anyway. I don't know her, but we still haven't heard when season 5 is starting. And at this point, because we haven't heard it, I strongly doubt that it's going to be right after The Walking Dead ends. I'm thinking it's probably going to happen after Game of Thrones is done. Like maybe in, I don't know, June or July, they'll bring it back. Maybe even August. Who knows?
Well, it originally started in.
Yeah, well, it did, but it was only for 6 episodes. So, like, I don't know, maybe I would think maybe it could come back in June. And if it came back in June, maybe they will play all 16 episodes at once. So I'd have to do the math on that, but I think it might be possible for them to start the show in June and then be able to 16 months right up until The Walking Dead comes back in October. So, again, I'd have to
out. Yeah, it seems because last year it was soon as like Walking Dead ended, that's when Fear started.
Yeah, but it seemed like I think that would be really a bad move for them to make, given the fact that Game of Thrones, which also plays on Sunday nights, is going to be back, and it's going to be back for its last season, and it's going to get humongous ratings because everyone has been waiting on bated breath for Game of Thrones to come back, myself included. So, you know, I tend to think that this could happen. I'm just going to do the math here and see.
I wouldn't be surprised if they give it a week or 2 weeks, just a break between, and then they pump AMC, the actual channel, with all of Walking Dead seasons every day until that happens, like a countdown.
Yeah, I just did the math, and they could start as late as the 26th of June, and them, and I did this really quick, so I could be wrong on this, but if they started on the 26th of June and went straight, they would be finished in time for The Walking Dead to come back on October 13th. So I tend to think that's probably what they're going to do. It'll probably start earlier and then maybe take off the 4th of July and Labor Day. So I'm going to call it. I'm thinking they're coming back in June. They're going to do 16 straight with a couple of weeks off.
I like that.
I think that would be good. All right. So that's it for our news, and that's basically it. So, Mark?
Well, to submit your feedback, we encourage you to interact with us on Twitter. You know, you could send a tweet to us at WalkingDeadGSM. And to submit your theories and feedback more so, you could go to our Facebook page, which would be www.facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. We'd like you to encourage you to use our email address, walkingdeadgsm@gmail.com. The feedback form at thegoldenspiralmedia.com/feedback is now functioning again, so you can send a text or audio there. You could find our SpeakPipe widget and just leave a message. I believe that's how Steve sends a lot of his. Or call 304-837-2278. And the deadline for next week's episode is Wednesday, March 13th, 2019 at 6 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Central. And the best way you can support us is by subscribing to us in Apple Podcasts, which would be goldenspiralmedia.com/apple. While you're there, please give us a review and a rating. That would be awesome.
And it's been a long time since we've had one, so yes.
So find other ways to support GSM at goldenspiralmedia.com/support.
And unless you've been under a rock, you would know that Star Trek Discovery is going strong right now. We've actually just passed the episode where we see Spock. Yes, we see Spock. Anyway, so it's now halfway through the season. Episode 8 comes out tomorrow as we record. So that's been going strong. And of course, if you've been a longtime listener, you know that my co-host on that is Ruthie, who started this podcast with me before Mark. So that's been going very strong. And the amount of feedback that we get from that show is just amazing. I tell you, it's a lot to go through every week. And there's so much to go through on that show. So you can find us at StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com or within the GoldenSpiralMedia.com website. But I would like to encourage you to join our Facebook group, because we are one away from 100 people, which is funny. I say that because although we only have 99 people in the Facebook group, we have like many, many, many more times people that actually listen to the show. So I want to encourage people to join that Facebook group. And that's at facebook.com/groups/StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.
Awesome. You can hear me on Panels to Pixels on the Next Level Radio Network. Right now, we're in the middle of doing Punisher Season 2. You can hear Steve and I talk about that. And we always ask people to send feedback our way. You can easily find us on Facebook.com/panels to pixels. I believe next week, Steve and I will be reviewing Captain Marvel. We're putting a break in between Punisher so we could just review a brand
new. Well, that's movie. Great. I think, that's the first time you've done that?
I actually did a review for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Ah, okay. So, cool. Yeah. And again, if you recall from last week, that was Steve, that was co-host, and he's the co-host on Mark's Panels to Pixels. So, definitely check them out. And again, Steve, thank you so much for last week. All right. Next episode is season 9, episode 13, which is titled Choke Point, which I got to say, I love that title. I think that's a great title. We don't know who's written or directed it, but we do have a description from AMC.com, and that is Daryl's daring rescue mission forces Alpha to unleash a group of her own to retrieve what belongs to her, even if the price is paid in blood. And I've got to say, the kingdom's plans to reunite the communities is put in jeopardy. Double shot. All right. So until next time, I'm Mark. I read what it said. That's funny. All right.
We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Damn straight, we'll do it live.
That's the full. We'll do it live. Anyway, until next time, I am not Mark. I am Brian.
And I am Mark. And I'm not Brian.
And this is the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.